We're going to study the Ramban in Parshas Vayeshev. Let's take a look at the first Ramban on Parshas Vayeshev. The Pasuk says in Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, Vayeshev Yaakov bi'eretz mugurei aviv bi'eretz Kanaan. Now this Pasuk should be seen in the context of the previous Pasuk, the Pasuk that immediately precedes it, at the very end of Parshas Vayishlach, Aluf, 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 all the Alufim, Eil Alufei Edom, L'moshvol Som, B'eretz Achuzasom, Hu Esav Avi Edom. So if you read the Pasuk carefully, the word used to indicate the settlement of the land on the part of the Alufei Edom is Moshvo Som, which would parallel Vayeshev here at the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev. But then it says Be'eretz Achuzasom, and here it says Vayakov Be'eretz Mugurei Aviv. Now the Ramban is bothered, why does the Torah feel compelled to add the words Be'eretz Mugurei Aviv? It could have said Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Kanaan. So the Ramban says the following: Ki Omar Shalufei Esav Yashvu B'Eretz Achuzasam. Eretz Achuzasam Klomar Ha'oretz Shalakhu Lahem L'Achuzas Olam. This is the land that they, meaning the descendants of Esav, took as a we'll call it an inheritance, eternal inheritance, Achuzas Olam. So the phrase Achuzas Olam with regard to Alufei Esav is indicative of permanence, a permanent settlement in the land for him, Esav, and for his descendants. Aval Yaakov Yoshav Be'eretz. But Yaakov, in contrast, Gar Yoshav Ger. Yoshav Ger, says the Ramban, he dwelt in the land as a sojourner, a ger. He's not in a permanent settlement situation. And where is this? Be'eretz Mugurei Aviv, meaning just like his father had done so, Yitzchak. And why are they called gerim in that land? Be'eretz Lo Lahem El Kanaan, because the control over this land, the political sovereignty over this land, was not theirs, but rather belonged to Canaan. So whereas Esav settles down in a land in a permanent way and apparently has political control over that land, Yaakov, following the footsteps of his father Yitzchak, was sojourning as a ger in a land of Canaan that belonged to the Canaanim. What does the Torah want to point out here with this contrast? Vakavana, the intention here, lahagid, to convey the following message, ki hem, meaning Yitzchak and his son Yaakov, bocharim lagur, they would prefer to be gerim as long as it's be'eretz hanivcheres. Maybe there were other lands where they could have settled and they could have had their own sovereign control. Here in Canaan, they're only sojourners subjugated to the law of the land. They didn't have political independence in the land. But nevertheless, they'd rather prefer a residence, which is gerus, to be sojourners, rather than take permanent residence in any other land other than the Eretz HaNivcheres. The Ramban is true to his colors. Any opportunity he has to speak about the significance of the chosen land, he doesn't miss a beat. And this is another case. So if Yaakov has two choices, he could be in Achuzas Olam outside the land in a permanent settlement, or he could be a resident, a ger, in Eretz Kanaan, in Eretz HaNivcheres, he would prefer the latter. But now the Ramban adds another point here. There's a second dimension to the fact that Yitzchak and Yaakov choose to be Gerim, the Eretz Canaan. Vishen Iskayim, or she Yiskayim, the two Gersos, Yiskayim Bom, Ki Ger Yezarcha, the Eretz Lolohem. The Ramban is referring back to Parshas Lech Lecha, to the Brisbane Abasarim. And there, apparently, the Torah set up a condition. The condition for the Brisbane Abasarim to be fulfilled is Ger Yezarcha, the Eretz Lolohem. Let's open up to the Parsha of the Brisbane Abasarim. So we're looking at Parshas Lech Lecha, Perek Tesvav, Bayom Ahu. This is the culmination of the Brisbane Absorim. Pasuk Yudches, Karas Hashem es Avram Bris Leimor. What's the culmination of the Bris? Lezaracha Nasati Es Oretz Hazos. It's the gift of bequeathing Eretz Yisrael on the descendants of Yaakov. But if you look a little earlier in the bris itself, in the parash itself, back in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayomer l'Avraham Yadoa Teda Ki Ger Yezarecha B'Eretz Lolohem, that gerus in a land that's not theirs is the precondition for Lezarecha Nasati Es Oretz Hazos. So Yitzchak and Yaakov desire to fulfill that condition so that they would clinch, they would guarantee for their descendants the inheritance of the Eretz HaNivcheres, of Eretz Kanaan. So the Havtocha, the promise of Lezarcha Nasati Es Oretz, is dependent upon the fulfillment of Geris, Ger Yezarcha. And even within the bounds of Eretz Kanaan, they could fulfill this condition of Ger Yezarcha because they have no political freedom, no political independence. Now, who are the candidates? Are there other candidates for this great gift of Eretz Canaan to inherit the land? Well, offhand, one could have said that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving it Lezarecha Shel Avram, that would include Yitzchak as well. But if you take a look in the sugya, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Adaf Nun Tes Amid Beis, with regard to the mitzvah of Mila that was given to Avram, and there too the Torah says Lezarecha Vata Es Brisi. This is in Brachos Yud Zayin Tishmar, and you shall observe this bris Ata Vezarecha Chrecha LeDorosam. So the Gemara says Elameata Bnei Yishmael Lechayvu. Why don't the Bnei Yishmael, who are coming out of Avram, the descendants of Avram, they are also included in Vizaracha Chrech Ledorosam? And the Gemara answers, because of the Pasuk in Perek Chaf Aleph, Ki B'Yitzchak Yikar L'cha Zora. And the Gemara darshens, B'Yitzchak V'lo Kol Yitzchak. So at this point, it seems that with regard to Zera Avram, Lezaracha, Yishmael is knocked off. But the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Yud, says the following. Yotza Esav, Shahre Yitzchak Omar Liyakov, V'yitein Lecha Es Birchas Avram, Lecha Ulazaracha. Esav is excluded from Birchas Avram by virtue of the brachos that were given to Yaakov, because Yitzchak blesses Yaakov and he says V'yitein lecha es birchas Avram lecha ulezarecha. At the end of Parshas Toldos, so it would seem that according to the Rambam, the pasuk of B'Yitzchak v'lo b'kol Yitzchak does not necessarily preclude Esav. Michlal, says the Rambam, Shehu Levado Zaro Shel Avram.
that only Yaakov is considered Zarah Shel Avram by virtue again of the brachos, the Birchas Avram that were bestowed upon Yaakov. So the Brisker Rav in his Bir Al HaTorah and Parshas Toldos says that if we only had a pasuk of B'Yitzchak V'lo Kol Yitzchak, we would only know that one of the two brothers is considered Zara Shel Yitzchak and therefore Zara Shel Avram. But that doesn't indicate which of the two brothers. There are two candidates. Both Yaakov and Esav are suitable to inherit the land of Eretz Canaan through the Birchas Avram. Both are considered Zaracha. It's only at the moment that Yitzchak blesses Yaakov, and at that moment, V'yiten lecha is Birchas Avram lecha ulezaracha lecha, meaning to you, Yaakov. At that point, there's a hakra, there's a decision in which the scale is tipped in favor of Yaakov and Esav is excluded. He's bumped off. So he can no longer be Zaracha. Now if you take a look at the end of Parshas Toldos, you'll see something very interesting. Let's open up to the end of Parshas Toldos. When we look at the Birchas Avram, which is bestowed by Yitzchak upon Yaakov, so we see something very interesting. Open up to Perek Chav Ches. It says, Vayikra Yitzchak el Yaakov. Yitzchak summons Yaakov, and he says to him, Lo tikach isha mibnos knan, kum lech paden aram. He's sending Yaakov to Chutz Loretz, to Paden Aram, to Lavan, in order to get a wife. At the end, he gets more than he bargained for, he gets two wives. And then, in Pasuk Hey, Vayishlach Yitzchak es Yaakov Vayelech Paden Aram. Once again, the Torah in sense repeats itself. And Yitzchak sends Yaakov Paden Aram. In the middle, sandwiched in the middle, is the Birchas Avram. Pasuk Dalet. V'yiten lecha is Birchas Avram lecha ulezarecha itach. L'rishtecha es eretz megurecha shanosan alekim le'avram. So what's the difference between the opening pasuk in this parasha, in which Yitzchak is mitzaveh Yaakov to go kum lech paden Aram, and the fifth pasuk, v'yishlach Yitzchak es Yaakov Vayelech Paden Aram, and in the middle you have the Birchas Avram. So what you're going to have to say over here is that there are two dimensions to Yitzchak sending Yaakov to Paden Aram. On the one hand, there's the Altikach Isha Mibnos Knan that we see earlier at the end of Perek Chav Zayin. Vatoma Rivka El Yitzchak Katzbi B'chayai Mipnei Bnos Ches. And then in Pasuk Aleph in Perek Chav Ches, Vayomer Lo Tikach Isha Mibnos Kanan. So that's one dimension of going to Paden Aram in order to find a wife. And then there's another dimension. Yitzchak bestows upon Yaakov lecha ulezaracha lerishtcha eretz megurecha the Birchas Avram, that he, Yaakov, to the exclusion of his brother Esav, would inherit the land. Now vayishlach Yitzchak as Yaakov is a different halacha. Now in order to guarantee the kiyum, the fulfillment of this blessing of the Birchas Avram lezaracha for the zera of Yaakov, Vayishlach Yitzchak es Yaakov Vayelech Paden Aram. Now it's Ger Yezarecha L'Eretz Olam, referring back to, or alluding back to the parsha of the Bris Bein HaBesorim, the precondition for the inheritance of Yaakov to gain the land of Eretz Canaan is that they have to be Gerim. So immediately Yitzchak says, in order for this bracha to be fulfilled, you have to be Mekayim, you have to fulfill your condition. Go out to Chutz Laretz. Now, if we go back to this Ramban at the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, then I have to admit I'm very perplexed. If Esav has already been excluded from Eretz Yisrael by virtue of the brachos that Yitzchak bestows upon Yaakov at the end of Parshas Toldos, then why do we need here in Parshas Vayeshev that Yaakov has to be worried about the fulfillment of the condition of Ger Yezarcha Be'eretz Lo Lehem? Why is that a shikul? Why is that a factor in Yaakov's thinking in order to make a decision as to where to set up his residence once Esav has already been excluded, because Lezarcha, because Yitzchak bestows upon Yaakov the bracha of Yitin Lecha as Birchas Avram? I think what you have to suggest here in understanding this Ramban is that there are two different mahalchim, there are two different routes going on over it, two different highways. You have to travel first on the question of Zaracha, who's included under Zaracha, the Yitzchak Ikare's exclusion of Yishmael, Lizaracha, as the Rambam says in Hilchus Melachim, as we saw, is the Birchas Avram. V'yitin lecha is Birchas Avram lecha ulizaracha hu levado, says the Rambam, Zaro shel Avram, to the exclusion of Esav. But that's not enough. That's one mahalach. That's one approach that excludes Esav as a candidate. You would think by passive elimination, by default, there's no other possibility for Yerushas Eretz Yisrael except for Yaakov. But the answer is no. That even if you exclude other candidates, that doesn't clinch it for you. It could be that Eretz Knaan would be, Hefker would be open to any nation and any people. How do you clinch it that Dafka Yaakov and his children will inherit the land? And for that, we need, in a positive sense, a kiyum atnai. In this case, Yaakov has to become a ger. He's got to fulfill the condition of ger yezaracha. So we have two dimensions here in the decision-making process of where Yaakov is going to... I shouldn't say the decision-making process, but I say two dimensions in the process of clinching the Birchas Avram and guaranteeing that the descendants of Yaakov would indeed inherit the land. We have to first of all exclude Esav. That already occurred at the end of Parshas Toldos, as we saw in the Rambam in Hilchus Melachim. And number two, we need to, in a positive sense, fulfill that condition of Ger Yezarecha Be'eretz Lo Lehem, which the Ramban points out is fulfilled when Yitzchak and Yaakov live in Eretz Canaan, which is controlled by the Canaan. Let's go on to the next Ramban. The pasuk says, "V'Yisrael ahav es Yosef mikol banav ki benz kunim hu lo." And the Ramban, first quoting Rashi, but then developing his own interpretation, is wondering, what does this mean when it says that Yosef is a benz kunim hu lo? Now, before we get into this, let's go back for a moment to the previous pasuk, and we're not going to go through the Ramban in depth, reading it word for word, on the pasuk, V'hu nar es b'nei bilhav es b'nei zilpa, v'she'aviv, v'yove Yosef es dibosam ra el avihem. But let me just highlight some of the points that the Ramban makes on Vahu Nar Espinei Zilpa, Espinei Bilav Espinei Zilpa. Yosef is described as a nar. That's not so simple, because the Ramban points out that there wasn't any great difference in age between Yosef and at least some of his other brothers. They were all pretty young. Maybe Yosef was 17, they were 18. And it's questionable whether the word nar, a youth, would be appropriate for someone who's 17. Anyway, it doesn't seem to be anything particularly young about him. Also, the phrase nar es b'nei Zilpa, b'nei Bila b'nei Zilpa, what does that mean? With b'nei Bila b'nei Zilpa. And then finally, dibasam ra, who is that referring to? So Ramban quotes Rashi to the effect that nar means osa maisen narus, and as b'nei Bilha means that he was ragil, he would be found always with the b'nei Bilha. And the reason for that is, according to Rashi, Yosef would champion the cause of those of his brothers who were a little bit lower, so to speak, who were denigrated by the b'nei Leah. And as the Basam Ra, as a result of the fact that Yosef had this very close connection, he was intimate with friendship with his brothers of the children of the Shvachos, of Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher, therefore, when his brothers, the children of Leah, would denigrate the children of the Shvachos, then Yosef would champion their cause, and he would even bring the Lashon Hara on any Ra that he saw. He would bring it back to his father Yaakov. The Ramban rejects Rashi, and it's an interesting phenomenon how the Ramban in his mind pictures the Mechiras Yosef. You know, he's really got this this image in his mind of what exactly happened. And the Ramban's image is that all the brothers agreed and disliked Yosef and wanted to kill him. Now, if, according to Rashi, the B'nai Bila and Zilpa had this very fond relationship with Yosef, they were pro-Yosef, and not like the other brothers who were negative Yosef, because Yosef brought the Basam Ra, then he doesn't understand the Ramban, granted the premises of Rashi. Why is it that the sons of the maidservants of Bila and Zilpa didn't save Yosef when the other brothers came to kill him, if they were his friends? Now, if you're going to suggest, says the Ramban, again, going through this image in his mind of what happened at the time of Mechiras Yosef, that maybe you'll suggest that they were afraid to take a position against the B'nai Leah. The B'nai Leah were stronger, were greater in power. He says that doesn't make any sense to him, because the B'nai Zilpa were four. Reuven was five, because he wanted to save Yosef. And Yosef himself makes it six. So you have a total number of six against the other five of the B'nai Leah. Again, there were six B'nai Leah, but if Reuven jumps ship, so he becomes part of the opposition. And the Ramban even adds a phrase that he says, V'af ki lo yavo imahim b'milchama. There needn't have been any sort of physical battle to overcome the five brothers. They certainly would have backed off, having seen that the majority of the brothers were opposed to selling him. And the Psukim also indicates, says the Ramban, that the Pashtus is that all the brothers agreed to sell Yosef. The Ramban goes ahead and quotes a Medrash Rabbah that indicates that the Lashon Hara of Yosef was not limited to the B'nai Leah, but included all the brothers. And therefore the Ramban disagrees with Rashi, offering his own commentary, and he believes that when it says Yosef is a nar ben shvasrei shana, then what it means is that he would tend the sheep of the Bnei Bilah and the Bnei Zilpah. And therefore, by coming in close contact with them, because he would herd their sheep together, he saw all the faults in God, Naphtali, Dan, Naphtali, God, V'yosher, the Bnei Ashpachos. And therefore, when the Torah describes that he brought the Lashon Hara back to Avram, it was referring dafka to the Bnei Ashpachos. So therefore, according to the Ramban's thesis, the Bnei Ashpachos had an axe to grind. They had a hatred that they were, a resentment that they were harboring in their hearts because Yosef brought the Diba of the Bnei Ashpachos back to Yaakov. And the Ramban also explains why Yaakov had appointed the Bnei Hashvachos to be babysitters, so to speak, to protect Yosef and watch over him, guard him, and tend to him. It was a little bit below the dignity of the Bnei Leah to do such a thing, because they came from the main wife of Yaakov. So we understand why the sons of the Shvachos hated Yosef. And then the Ramban says that the other sons hated Yosef for a totally different reason. And that's what the pasuk goes on to tell us, and this is all the introduction to the ahava, the special love that the Torah indicates Yisrael in the very next pasuk, ahavas Yosef mikol banav, that engendered the resentment of the Bnei Leah. Because they felt a jealousy. They were the sons of Leah. Why? They couldn't understand why Yaakov would love Yosef more than them. Because the main wives of Yaakov were Leah and Rachel. They were the children of Leah, and he, Yosef, was the son of Rachel. They felt equal in level to him. And therefore they felt a sense of deep jealousy, says the Ramban, because of the special ava that Yaakov bestowed upon Yosef. And they hated Yosef because of that jealousy. The Bnei Shvachos, on the other hand, didn't feel that sense of jealousy because they understood, they accepted that the fact that Yosef had a greater level, a greater position than them, since he, Yosef, was the son of Rachel, the main wife, and they were the Bnei Shvachos. They hated him for a different reason, because Yosef had brought their Dibah Rah back to Yaakov. Okay, now let's get into the Ramban about Ben Zkunim Hu Lo. The Ramban opens his discussion by quoting Rashi's Pshat, Shenolad Lo B'Eis Ziknuso, which means that according to this pshat of Rashi, Yaakov was an old man when Yosef was born to him. And Rashi goes on to quote a different interpretation in the name of Unkelus, Are Bar Hakimule, which literally translates Bar Hakim, Bar is a son, Hakim is wise, Hu Lei, he was a wise son to Yaakov. So Yosef is called a wise son. And that's what it means, Ben Zkunim. Unkelus is apparently touching on the fact that the word Zaken means Vishakana Chachma, which we'll see elsewhere in Shas. And Rashi adds, Shekoma Shalomad Mishem V'Ever Mosarlo. Everything, all the Torah knowledge that Yaakov had learned himself from Sheva Avery, transmitted to Yosef. And if you take a look in Parshas Kedoshim, in Vayikra Yutes, with regard to the mitzvah of Adarta Pnei Zaken, you'll see there that Chazal explained the word Zaken is Misha Kana Chachma. So Yosef had acquired Torah knowledge, and that's called Ben Zkunim. Dover Acher, Rashi quotes a third interpretation, that the word Zkunim is an otrikon, If you take it apart, it means ziv ikunin. And Rashi says that the countenance, the splendor of Yosef, his vision, his face, was similar, resembled that of Yaakov. Which is interesting because Chazal speak about Dmus Diukno Shel Yaakov, Chakuka Tachas Kisei HaKavod, and Yosef had that striking resemblance, according to this Pshat, to Yaakov. So the words Kunim is not the way Rashi interpreted that Yaakov was old. Not the way Unkelus had interpreted Zkunim Ilashon Chachma, he's a wise son, but rather it's referring to the splendor of Yosef's countenance. And the Ramban goes on to tell us that the Ibn Ezra accepted Rashi's first pshat, Ki ben Zkunim Shaholido Lizkunov, and the Ibn Ezra fills in another detail here that Yaakov at the time of the birth of Yosef was 91 years old. The Ramban says, "V'eino nochon v'eina." He doesn't like it. Ki akosuv omar sha'ohav es Yosef mikol bonav ba'avur shu ben zkunin. In other words, according to Rashi and Ibn Ezra, the special love that Yosef had for this son, Yosef, that Yaakov had for this son, Yosef, as opposed to the other sons, was because he was a child of Yaakov's old age, but that doesn't make any sense. V'gam kolbonav noldulo bizkunov. All the rest of his children were also born to Yaakov in Yaakov's old age. And you'll see, if you go back to the psukim in Perek Chavtes, or Perek Lamed, you'll see that all the children, with the exception of Binyamin, were born within a 7-year period. So the Ramban is correct by adding, V'hine Yisachar Zvulun Einan Gedol Miyosef Rak B'shano Shnataim. So the difference in age between Yisachar and Zvulun was a year or two, in which case Yosef, who was not really the only Ben Zkunim to his old father, because Yaakov was either 89 or 90 at the time of the birth of Yisachar and Zvulun. He was no spring chicken. But rather, says the Ramban, Anira Be'enai, if you want the right understanding of this Pashki, Minog Hazkenim Sheyikhu Echon Mibneam Haktanim Lios Imo Lesharso. It was very common, says the Ramban, for an older person, an older father, to choose amongst his youngest sons someone who would take care of his father. He would be dedicated to the service of his father. And the elderly father would always depend upon that particular child, lo yiparid mimenu, and this child wouldn't go far away from his father. He'd always be available in close proximity. The Ramban is already, you can already begin to use your sense of intuition where the Ramban is going with this. Because if you remember, the other brothers go out to tend the flock, and Yosef is somehow left behind. And this explains why the Torah calls him Ben Zkunin. For who Nikolo Ben Zkunov, this is called the son of his old age, meaning Bavur Sheisharseu Sheisharsol Zkunov. He will be the one who will serve his father and tend to every need of his. V'ide Lokach Yaakov is Yosef L'davrazev V'hu Imo Tomit V'alkein Lo Yelech Imatzon Bira Osam Bevakom Rachok. And that explains why Yosef did not join his brothers in tending to the flock when they grazed far, far away. However, now the Ramban comes back to analyze Unkelus. And here I find that this Ramban is very fascinating. The Ramban says, in expanding upon Unkelus, Sha'amar Bar Chakim Yitzalom Shahiyah Ben Das VeChacham V'Yenei Aviv. This is a very interesting phrase that the Ramban employs to explain Bar Chakim. He was a Ben Das. A Ben Das means he had a certain capability of understanding, of insight, of perception. And Chacham, he was also wise. Wise means Yosef had the wisdom of age.
v'tamo, and the meaning or the message that's being conveyed here is that Yosef had the tam, I guess you'd say he had the insight, kitam zekenim. He was much more mature, he was mature beyond his years, we would say. So the old age here that's indicated is actually the old age of a wise person, which Yosef had achieved in his very short life. He was very young. He had a wisdom that was way beyond his years. V'tirgem ki yeled zkunim. Now if you look in Perek Mem Dalid, when the Torah describes Binyamin as yeled zkunim, their unculus translates yeled zkunim as bar savtin, which literally means the son of an older person. So it's interesting that unculus, which is very typical of unculus, gives different interpretations of similar phrases in different places. Kilo amar kasuv bekan. So the Ramban says that what was unculus' diuk in the pasuk? Because here the Torah says ki ben zkunim hu lo, whereas there by Binyamin it says ki ben zkunim haya. Why doesn't it say the same thing here by Yosef, ki ben zkunim haya? So the difference being is that in the case of Binyamin, ki ben zkunim haya, he was a child of old age, he was bar savtin. But here, hu lo, it means the Torah is describing the way Yaakov considered his son Yosef. Ki be'enav, in the eyes of Yaakov, father Yaakov, Yosef was a ben zkunim, he was an individual who was perceptive, he was wise, he had the wisdom of the maturity of old age. V'zos kavanosim, now he goes back to the Medrash that he had indicated, he had alluded to before, when in quoting Rashi, ki kol ma shalomad mishem v'ever masar lo, that all the Torah that he had learned from Shem v'ever, he transmitted, Yaakov transmitted to his son Yosef. And the reason for this, according to the Ramban, is Lomar, once Yaakov perceives the extreme, the exceptional wise qualities, the wisdom of Yosef, therefore he made this decision to choose Yosef as his disciple. Lomar, to teach us, Shemasalo Chachmos v'sisrei Torah. Unbelievable that Yaakov transmitted to Yosef not just the wisdom of the Torah, but also the secrets of the Torah, the mysticism, the deeper levels. Umitzo maskil, and he finds that Yosef is a maskil. Maskil means he has observation, he has the power of insight, he's probably also got the capability of passing on the Torah to the next generation. Ubal sod bahem, and he, Yosef, was capable of understanding the secrets of the Torah. Ki'ilu haya zaken v'rav yomim, as if he was much older because of his wisdom. Now, if you look in the Sefer Sam Derech, you'll see that he makes a calculation based on various comments in Rashi and Chazal, that Yaakov Avinu studied Torah for a long time. He started his study of Torah at the age of 13, and this is indicated in Rashi, back in Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Chavav, on the Pasuk Vayigdalu Hana'arim, V'Yaakov Ishtam Yosef Oholim. Rashi says, Kol Zman Shayu Ketanim Lo Nikar Maseyan, before they became Bar Mitzvah 13, but came in Shanasu B'nei Shloshes Reishon. Rashi says, Zeh Piresh Levati Midrashos. Yaakov checks out of his father Yitzchak's house, and he studies, he registers in the yeshiva, in the Bati Midrashos of Shem V'Yevet. V'zeh Bareisov Piresh Lavodos Kochavim. And then Rashi goes on and says, Yosef Oholim, Oholim Shal Shem, Oholim Shal Efer. So from the age of 13 and on, now it's not as if Yaakov
wasn't in the yeshiva until the age of 13. Maybe he wasn't Nikar B'Masov, but as the Rambam says in the introduction to Hilchas Avodas Kochavim, Yitzchak had passed on his Torah to Yaakov. So Yaakov studied Torah both under the tutelage of his father Yitzchak and for a very long period of time, starting at the age of 13, in the Beis Medrash Shem V'Yevet. Now if you add that to the calculation that Rashi at the end of Parshas Toldos, when he's calculating the age of Yaakov Avinu, Rashi determines that Yaakov was 63 years old when he left his father's home. And he ran away as a fugitive from Esav. So from the age of 13, for 50 years, till the age of 63, he was studying. Whether it was all those years in the Beis Medrash of Shem V'Yever, or perhaps under the tutelage of Yitzchak, as the Rambam indicates at the beginning of Hilchas Akum, that's 50 years of Torah learning. Because Yaakov is the Ish Tam Yoshev Oholim. Now, add to that the fact that Rashi indicates at the beginning of what it says, Vayivka Vamokom, Rashi on Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk Yud Aleph, says Vayishka Vamokom Ahu, Biyosa Vamokom Shakaf, Al Yudal Shana Shimesh Beis Eivrusha. So before Yaakov reaches Lavan, he's already left his father's home. He checks in for another 14 years of Torah study. Now all that vast amount of Torah, both what we call Nigla and Nistar, was all transmitted to Yosef. Because the Medrash says, Shekol chachmaso masar li Yosef. Kol mashalomad mishem v'yever masar lo. The entire corpus, the entire body of Torah that Yaakov Avinu had acquired, he passed on to Yosef. It's just that in the case of Yaakov, he was studying for 5 decades, maybe even 6.5 decades, and he passed this on to Yosef, who's all of 17 years old. And everything, the entire Torah, was passed on. Including the way the Ramban says, Chachmos v'sisrei Torah. This is absolutely amazing. How could Yosef have achieved so much? As the Ramban says, Motzo maskil u'bal sod b'em ki'ilu ha'yazokin v'rav yomin. I mean, the Gemara actually says in Avodah Zorah, Lokoi inshi adaiti de rabbi at arboim shana. It takes 40 years to sit at the feet of your Rebbe until you can really understand his Torah on a deeper level and understand his whole mahalach, his ruach haTorah, his methodology, his hashkafa. And it's interesting that when the Ramban describes Yosef, he's not talking about the knowledge that Yosef had accumulated, but he's talking about the depth and the clarity of his das, of how much of an impact it had on Yosef. It was part of his personality. Now Yosef is ready to face all the challenges of Golos. So Yosef had studied by his father and had achieved all this Torah in such a young age. How could he have possibly, it's beyond our comprehension, have acquired this great knowledge and this change in personality to make him such a wise, perceptive individual in the Chochmas HaTorah and Sisrei HaTorah at the age of 17 in such a short period of time? But it's also because he had a great Rebbe. But the combination thereof produces a Bar Chakim, someone who's wise, a Bar Das, he's a Chacham way beyond his years, and that's why he was the disciple par excellence of Father Yaakov. We'll stop here.